Good morning. It's one of my typical disorganized mornings in which I embarrass myself in front of some wonderful guests that are here from the Barn Theater. And that would be Brandon Ragazzi, who is directing the show we're going to talk about, and Alan Palmer, who is starring in the show we're going to talk about. Thank you, Alan and Brendan, for joining me here on WMUK.
Thank you for having us, Kara.
Thank you.
I haven't even served the tea yet. I'm so impressed. We have been, kind of dealing with some audio issues, hoping they will resolve themselves and we can hear some tunes from this show that I think has a special meaning for just about everybody. It's the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Rather, the Rocky Horror Show.
Correct.
It's a stage version. And it starts this weekend, October 22nd, 23rd, 24th. First thing to know about is tickets are getting limited at this point. There are a lot of tickets sold. The website is barntheaterschool.org. And you have taken time out of the massively pressurized environment of Barn School to come and preview the show with me. I hope this is going to be at least a little relaxing.
No, it's going to be cool.
Very fun.
Brendan Ragazzi, you were just saying, I asked a question of you, have you directed any shows this summer? And it turns out you have been a powerhouse director all summer.
It's been a full summer. Yes, it has.
So, yeah. Could you list some of those shows?
Oh, boy. Let's see. I started off with Mamma Mia and then went on to The Wedding Singer and then 0069 and then Ben-Hur and then A Slippery Slope and now Rocky Horror.
What does that do to a person?
It beats them up like crazy.
What Brendan doesn't tell you is he also produces every one of the shows, so there's that.
I wear a couple of hats.
So here we are at the end of the season, just about. This is kind of the final big stage show of the Barn Theater. Looking back on the season that challenged you with a pandemic and COVID restrictions, and how do you think you did?
I think we have done a great job. We have everybody we've kept healthy and happy, and it is our 75th season. So we had to do something, whether it's puppet shows out in the parking lot or whatever. We had to do something, you know. I think, and also the community has responded well. And we've had a very good year, so I can't complain. We've been a little short-handed staff-wise this year, but I know every business in the planet is having that issue. So, we have prevailed so far. Knock on wood, and we're just keep going forward and getting ready for our 76, coming up.
So for you, it just never ends, but you should be proud of, the conditions under which you produced this entire season.
Well, thank
are
you.
Very challenging.
Thank you.
And
it's not just me. It's our company and everybody that we have dealt with. We have expanded, believe it or not, in some regards to the facility. And, I'm pretty happy. I'm a little tired, but pretty happy.
Do you plan for that? I mean, do you plan for some downtime because you need
it? It's probably after our Christmas show. Yeah. January and February is a little slower for myself. Actually, Penelope, it picks up for her. So, it just depends what hat we're wearing. But, yeah, I'm going to have to take a little time to myself, and we have two seniors, kids-wise, this year, one at Michigan State and another one in high school, so that springtime, that will, come into the fold, but it's been a very fulfilling year, but it's been stressful as all get out, just because of, like, early on, we didn't know whether we would be inside, outside, capacity issues, things like that, and we can't we don't have a business where you can go, in 2 weeks going, go open, kind of thing. You have to hire people way ahead of time. And so that was a little, praying to whatever gods up there to, hopefully we have a game plan. And, yeah. And we were able to do that. So
some of the behind the scenes challenges. And mm-hmm. I'm sure openings are posted at your website when they are available. You can look there, barntheaterschool.org. I had the pleasure of talking to some of your company members, Robert Newman, to begin. Mm-hmm. I also talked to Eric Morris and Patrick Hunter, who was Patrick the pink
starfish.
Yeah.
Patrick played Patrick,
and so much more. And they had a lot of wonderful things to say about this season of the Barn Theater, as well as their experiences in past seasons, and how important it is to not only have a theater company operating in summertime for audiences here, but to also have young talent come in and have it actually be a school. And that tradition is disappearing in some places. It continues here. And I'm assuming that that value is still really high for you.
I think it's a necessity. The entertainment business is one of the most difficult water shedding off the back personalities that you have to have to not have you tear it up and or tear you up.
Right.
It's tough because you are vulnerable. You put yourself out there in whatever capacity, and you are judged. And if you want to be in a profession where it goes, well, I don't want to be judged. I don't want this. And it's like, well, this is the profession you've chosen. So, it is, or at least at this point in time in life. But no, I think it is important that, because a lot of our successes that we've had through the barn are when people come to the barn as, quote, apprentices or EMCs, they're, for the most part, they're performance apprentices, but they learn other skills to go along with that. And they may not make it as a performer out there. It's just, the luck of the draw, being in the right place at the right time. That whole kind of thing, if you want a picket fence, if you want a relationship, if you want a dog, all this kind of things come into play mm-hmm. in life. But if you have a situation where you are learning other trades or other skill sets within that trade, that could propel you, like a Jonathan Larson. He was our bar show music director. And so he came, he wrote a couple of things where pretty big, but he got his
Rent, right?
Yeah. No, Jonathan Larson? He got his equity card, at the barn.
Wow.
And Jonathan, God rest his soul and everything like that. He's a fine performer. He would never have accomplished what he has accomplished as a performer, as he did as a composer. And so I think those are the kind of things. We Marin Mazzie, obviously, Western. Grad and everything, got her equity card from us, but it's like those are the kind of things that, I think the barn teaches you whether or not as, I'm not saying it's right for everybody, but it kind of gives you an idea if this is the career you want to choose,
Well, it's such an immersive, transformative experience. And sometimes apprentices come back for 3-4 years that no matter what you end up doing to bring in a paycheck, it can't help but kind of help in many different subtle ways.
Absolutely. And it weeds out the entertainers who think they want to do this. Their schedule is amazing to me, and it weeds out the week. It really does.
Some people are like, yes, I actually do want a dog and the picket fence, and I can't always be on call, and I don't want to face the crushing defeat of being rejected, exactly. 9 times out of 10 when I go up for a role.
Yeah, it does, I think, give you an idea of other skill sets, and it only helps you if you want to remain in the business. And I think that is so important for someone's education. And it, again, it's not for everybody. And, you know, and if the barn doesn't work out for you, or if, you know, you don't go to the barn, doesn't mean you're not going to make it, because obviously, yes. I mean, you know, people do make it in some other forms, but I think it certainly helps. And,
if you've just tuned in, I'm speaking with the director of the Rocky Horror Show that starts this weekend at the Barn Theater, Brandon Ragazzi, and actor Alan Palmer, who takes on the role of Frankenfurter. And that reminds me of what I was thinking about as I kind of prepared to come into work today, thinking about the movie and, you know, how much I've forgotten about about the show. But one thing that's pretty vivid is that this film, when it was made, was kind of this experimental rock opera thing. And I'm pretty sure the cast didn't expect it to be some sort of juggernaut. So when you see the performances of Tim Curry, Susan Sarandon, and some of the other players giving it their all in a kind of a weird project, it kind of proves that great acting and commitment can change the trajectory of a project like that.
Well, Lou Adler, I really believed in it, and he, because they did try a, quote, release nationally and stuff, and didn't do well.
Yeah.
Did not do well. But he didn't give up on it. He tried to sell this idea. It's like, oh, what if we have a midnight showing to selective chains and things of that nature? That's where it took off. That's where it took off. So it was, a couple of people behind something and really pushing for what they believe. And this time it has worked out quite well.
Well, I mean, that's the Rocky Horror legend. It became a cult classic.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And then it became an audience participation classic. And it's almost mainstream now. Yeah.
It is. It is.
Do you know the story of how it was adapted for stage? I was thinking it was, you know, something that happened decades later, but you were just saying that was kind of in the cards to begin.
I was 11 years old, and I was with my folks in Los Angeles, California, at the Roxy Theater, hearing of a show called The Rocky Horror Show. My folks and myself knew nothing about this, and it was very Spartan, but it did have the, quote, a lot of the originals. Had Tim Curry, it had Richard O'Brien, the creator of Rocky Horror, in it, Meatloaf. So they still had a lot of their core there before the movie, and they were priming this to go to New York. And I think it went to New York for a very short time before they kind of like, well, okay, let's make a movie kind of scenario. And then the movie had that kind of 5-year history before it really took off.
A slow beginning.
Excuse me. But the thing that we were very fortunate, because I was, you know, a fairly young guy starting to direct, I just came off with the success of Hair the summer before, and I said to Dad, we need to do, you know, I'd like to do some more rock musicals kind of thing. And the only thing that was kind of out there that was any kind of name recognition was Rocky Horror. And my dad said, absolutely no, you know, because it never had great history. And it has never had great history. And he said, well, I don't know, I think I browbeated him, or not browbeated him, but whined and cried and whatever enough. And he finally said, okay, we'll do Rocky Horror for 2 weeks, and then it'll be a nice little blip on the map and gone in the, you know, the archives.
You can stop twisting my arm about it.
But, and, you know, preseason sales were not great. They were okay. I mean, not pre-show sales, But after that opening night, that first time we did it, it exploded. And we added a week on to that. It's been the most produced show at the barn ever. And, you know, we've had great success with Rocky. And after our initial success with Rocky, Sam French, it's old school New York, but I went into the office one winter, and there's a picture of our cast, plastered on their wall of their lobby. So it was like, that was pretty cool. Of all the products that Sam French has, and our little Rocky Horror was, bigger than life on Sam French. We'd get calls from other producers across the country. What the success and what,
how did you get it? Yeah, what's the magic?
Yeah,
explain.
Exactly.
Explain.
And I think the magic is to let the people in, let the audience in. They are part of the show. And, sometimes that's great, sometimes it's not, but they have to be a part of the show. They have to be.
There is a performance on Halloween. It's the final, actually. The run should end on the 31st of October. Details are at barntheaterschool.org. And this leads me to talk to Alan Palmer here in preparing for this role. It's your second time as Frankenfurter.
It is.
And you were responding to with nods when I said it seemed like the original cast, had to be super committed to material that they may have been unsure about,
yeah.
and that took the film to a whole new
absolutely
level, 'cause they didn't seem embarrassed to be dressed up when in
well, it's funny because it's funny, it's broad humor, but at the same time you have to play it so incredibly straight in order for it to be funny, and you have to find a realness to these characters, and you have to to really deliver it well. If you find the funny, they won't. And Brendan has a really beautiful way of mapping out this show. And and then it's up to us actors, we actors, to deliver these things. And I was just talking to Brendan about my prep for this. I just felt like that these were aliens that came down to Earth, and I would think that the way that they would study, it's like other foreign countries, people learn through film, through television, listening to the American dialect, to the dialogues that mm-hmm. people are talking about. And so I thought that maybe Frank was really studying these films to try to figure out who he is. And so I throw a little bit of different, Betty Davis and Eartha Kitt and, some people in because it's kind of fun. And then this year I picked up a little thing. I thought, well, maybe a little bit more television, 1950s television is where he would have gone. And so I have a little bit, I built some bigger pearls this year. And I figured, how the 1950s housewife, if they were feeling a little insecure, they always clutch their pearls. And so I've been kind of using that as
those big pearls came from.
Human gesture.
Exactly.
Wonderful. Well, Brenda just said that the key is letting the audience in. And that can be quite unsettling for a cast used to hitting all of their marks and their beats and stuff. What if the audience does interject itself into the show?
And they do. And it's very interesting. The first time when I came out, Brendan and a bunch of the cast members were shouting out things to us to prepare us for what it's like.
Oh, okay.
You're never prepared for what it's like, but it's so wonderful. If you get that rhythm down, the audience kind of comes in with you, and it's super fun. You're entertained by the audience as much as they are with us.
True.
Some of the great songs on the soundtrack, Let's Do the Time Warp, Damn It, Janet, the science fiction song.
Yep.
There's so much more. So those are some of the highlights that people come for. Do they sing along as well?
Oh, Yes.
Easy answer.
And interject to be between the, you know, because the movie is a musical as well. The thing about Rocky fans, they are very protective of this show. So, you know, you give them what they expect. That's the goal.
And they always walk away happy, and they return, which is exciting.
Yeah. The most produced show in Barn Theater history.
Yeah, about, something like 150 performances we've done of this now.
Who are some of the other cast members you can talk about and some of the other roles that are...
Well, we have Melissa Cotton Hunter as Janet, and we have Jason Kimmel as Brad, Penelope Alex as Magenta, Sydney Weiner as Columbia, and let's see...
Patrick Hunter
as Eddie. And Stephen Lee
is the narrator.
Thank you. Stephen Lee Burright. I'll give him the full. and Luke Ragazzi as Rocky. You know, so he's been slamming the weights and tanning up, blonding up.
It's fun to watch the family work together. The other day, watching Brendan's show, Luke, in the womb, how to
yes.
pleasure was quite interesting.
Yeah. It's a great cast. I'm very happy with all these guys. Alan is, I think, one of the best Franks we've had. So, you know,
we have fun.
It really is. It's a lot of fun, and I think everybody should expect have fun. You know, let their hair down a little bit.
I feel like we're talking to people who already know the story, have seen the film, and gone to the theater, perhaps. But I guess for those few people who still haven't been introduced to the Rocky Horror Show, could you give a summary?
Wow.
Put it on
Alan.
Take
it away. You're in-depth.
Throwing me out.
Your in-depth study there. So.
You know, I guess a bunch of aliens coming down to Earth, and Brendan, you're throwing me under the bus.
Exactly.
A bunch of aliens.
Exactly. Well, you're the one doing all the studying, but yes, it is a selective group of aliens coming down to to study and explore, and it gets a little out of hand because of what they're studying and exploring might not be what you would, you know, putting, you know, someone in a glass room and seeing how they, you know, how they react.
How they observe, you know, observe them and how they
But
behave.
So they put them in a little bit of different quote, you know, and we do have a Frankenstein mentality too with the leader at the time, and he wants to create the ultimate male. It's
hard to summarize.
Richard O'Brien, when he wrote
really
this thing, must have just
come off shot, of some heavy partying.
Well, it just shot from the hip and it stuck, you know, kind of thing. So it's a lot of fun. It really is. It pays homage to the 50s kind of mint ideology of horror films. And sci-fi films of the 50s.
That's kind of appropriate for the 70s, right?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. Like,
absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's, you know, resurfacing again, which is very interesting. It's funny how we recycle everything.
Yep.
I'd like to also invite anyone out that hasn't seen The Barn. I'm so surprised at how many people have not been to this theater, and yet they sell out. Every person that I've talked to here, you know, I've heard about The Barn. I haven't been there, but it's the most charming place you'll ever visit. It's incredible.
I can vouch for that. I enjoyed Sweeney Todd a couple years ago. Terrific.
Light little fluff musical.
Yeah.
This is my elephant in the room is I take myself pretty seriously, I guess. I don't know. This is a challenge for me because letting go, like it seems to be the point of this,
right.
Just let go of your expectations, let go of any expectation of following a plot, expectations of characters to behave in a expected way.
Yep.
I sometimes have a hard time. Other people love it because it's like, this is crazy.
Yeah. But you can be an observer as well.
And I'm just sitting there going, that doesn't make sense to me. Why? I'm the nerd.
So you'll have to go visit the new saloon there and get a couple of drinks and then you'll be fine.
Exactly.
That could work for me. Yeah. it seems like for me, like ever since high school, this sort of test of are you cool? Are you, you know, loosey-goosey kind of, you know, just going out at midnight, throwing cheese packets, that.
It was kind of a coming of age for a certain.
Definitely was for me. Went every Friday and Saturday night.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you?
Really, Alan?
Yeah, and I had to drive an hour each way to go to the theater because it was in a different town from us. But every Friday and Saturday, it was so much fun. Our friends got together and we would go down and study this really cool show that, you know, it's a great show. And the live show gives a little bit more depth to the piece, and Brendan's direction has given it some life, which is really good. I think even people that are virgins to this show will like it.
Yeah.
I think they will really enjoy themselves and give over to the pleasure at the end.
Right.
It'll be good.
Work that in.
You're saying it's an audience uniter.
It truly is.
Yeah.
Don't you think? I'm surprised to see people in their 80s coming to see the show over and over, and you're like, gosh. But if you think about when it was released, they would be in their 50s and they would have gone to see it, and so it's relatable to all ages. Don't you think?
No,
I think
definitely.
Everyone now, and especially if you're a true musical theater lover, I think you enjoy this piece a lot.
No matter what.
And by the way, we're all musical theater geeks are hip and cool. I'm sorry.
Yes. Whatever they
you
are.
Start early. I love that story of you going every Friday and Saturday with a group of friends. I bet you got to meet people you hadn't known before that became friends.
Absolutely.
Through that experience.
And then when they started to act and, you know, do the things in front of the screen, that was fun as well. It just kept morphing into something more and more. The only thing that the audience can't do here is do any props, no food, no.
Good to know.
Yeah.
No projectiles.
Yes.
Yes.
So you're safe there.
Could you explain the COVID precautions that the barn has?
We're just, as a company, we've been tested, vaccinated, that kind of thing. And we're just following state guidelines. I know other theaters have, you know, you don't have to prove anything. Masks are not required. If you'd like to wear a mask, sure, go crazy. If you don't want to wear a mask, that's fine. We're everything's under state guidelines.
Okay.
For that, so that's what we're doing.
I'm checking to see if there's that is clear on the website. I'm not sure because I'm still, you know, there's lots of places to click around. But but good to get the word out there. And by the way, that website is barntheaterschool.org or the ticket office, box office rather, 269-731-4121 for tickets to the Rocky Horror Show. Music and lyrics by Richard O'Brien, produced and directed by Brendan Rigazzi and starring Alan Palmer. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you so much, Kara.
But he told us where we stand. And Flash Gordon was there in silver underwear, Todd Raines was the invisible man. Then something went wrong for Fay Wray and King Kong. They got caught in a celluloid jam. Then at a deadly pace, it came from outer space. And this is how the message ran.